It's time once again for another edition of the Gaming Gang Extra, proudly sponsored by Victory Point Games. This time out, Elliot and I talk with Stronghold Games' Stephen Bonacor, as recorded at Origins 2011. We'll discuss Survive, Confusion, and much, much more. And, as you probably already know, I'm your host, Jeff McAleer. Nothing like early morning interviews after having a beer too many. Actually, I was feeling fine, just a little drag-tailed. Elliot and I had a chance to speak with one of the dynamic duo behind Stronghold Games, Stephen Bonacor, about what's currently available and what you'll see in the future from Stronghold Games. Stephen is actually a listener to the show, but I have to admit that I edited out the comment he made that we weren't very entertaining. I hope he was kidding.
We are here and talking to Stephen Bonacor from Stronghold Games. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Elliot.
Thank you, Jeff.
Hey! Yes, I am here, as always.
He's just holding the mic, though. He's not really important to this interview.
I'm hungover, so...
It happens. First of all, to get started, why don't you tell me a little bit about Stronghold Games and how you guys got started?
Sure. Well, Stronghold Games got started about a year and a half ago, late in 2009, when Kevin Nesbitt, he used to be from Valley Games, we met online, we started talking, we thought maybe it would be a good idea to restart a company. I wanted to go into the industry as a part-time thing, at least initially. And we thought we had a kind of a good synergy between what he knew about the industry already and business knowledge that I had. So we, of course, met in Atlantic City, New Jersey, where over gambling and drinking, where all good business decisions are actually made.
Normally.
And yes, of course. And so the rest of it's a progressing history. And we just we had the same kind of mindset together, and we're going to just take it there and continue on, make it bigger and bigger.
Now, you guys got a couple of really good games out, and I was wondering if you'd give me a little overview of the games you got.
Sure. I'll go through it. We have three games out currently. You're looking at two of them on the table here. Your audience can't see that. The first one we had out was Code 777. We had that out middle of last year. It did great for us. A deduction game from the team of Robert Abbott and Alex Randolph. Great old American designers. I kind of fancy myself as a purveyor of old designers because all of our games are from these old designers right now. So we got that one out, started the business model up. It was good. If you don't mind, let me talk about the business model for a second,
sure.
which we basically established, and you know, people are kind of can see that in what we've brought out recently. Essentially, we were looking for old games. We were looking for games that were in demand from known designers. Because to me, a recipe for disaster really, not that it can't work, because I know people who have done this, is to take unknown games from unknown designers in an unknown company. Why do you want to take a shot on things?
Oh, I'm first in line to pick up that.
Yeah, right? Let me plug some of my friends here. Right? Clever Mojo Games, yep. Alien Frontiers,
right.
That's exactly what they did, and they did it great. Congratulations. We're in the booth right next to them, so they did this great, guys. But that's a risk. You know what? I'm a businessman. I don't want to take risks, you know? I want to try to get something. So we were finding great games, great designers, even though no one knew us, they'd say, you know what, I want that game again. So essentially, we're raising our brand, Stronghold Games. I want people to think of Stronghold Games, that they can find these games and bring them back in a high-quality production. So that's what we're doing. And now, toward the end of the year, what we're going to be doing, we're going to be finding our first new game is coming out this year. Andrew Parks, who's a noted designer. He's done Camelot Legends. He's done a bunch of things for Z-Man. And it's Core Worlds, a deck-building game. So now people know us. And we're kind of like saying, oh, that's an unknown game. Well, we'll try that. So we're kind of just trying to raise all of those. You know, people can't see. I'm using my hands. I'm Italian. I'm using my hands here. But, you know, you want to raise all of those parameters at the same time so that people looking at us, okay, good company, good games. Let me go buy those games. So let me start continue talking about the games. I took a little tangent there.
Sure.
So our second game was Survive Escape from Atlantis. And to say that it has been a success would be an understatement. It is.
I believe so. It flies off the shelves, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really is. We've sold, I mean, it's the street date in the United States was February 2nd, and we've already sold over 8,000 copies of it, including to Barnes & Noble. We're in Barnes & Noble as of like this week. And in fact, with Survive, Escape from Atlantis, as well as with Code 777.
Okay.
So it's great. Our first two games actually got in there, which is really wonderful. right? And in Survive, what you're doing here is essentially you're on the island of Atlantis with your people, your Atlanteans, your meeples, and it's a bad place. It's sinking. It's going away. You have to get off of Atlantis any way you can. So you can do that via swimming, which is a very slow and dangerous process, or you can get into a boat, which is not much more safe, however, it's faster, and you can scoot yourself over to the outer islands. In the meantime, you have sea monsters. They're the big bads. They'll eat everything, people, boats, everything. You've got whales that want to topple boats and play with the people in the water, and you got sharks that, well, you know what happens when a shark and a person are in the
Don't
water.
Go swimming.
Don't go swimming there. That's the game. It's a very light strategy game. It has such wonderful mass appeal. I mean, we'll talk about the eye candy thing, but it has mass appeal because you can play it with your kids because it's really pretty, it's light, it's fluffy, kids like it. You give them something better than Monopoly to play or something like that. And then you can take it, you play it with your gaming group, your gaming gang, and over a beer, and you stab each other in the back because it's a cutthroat game if you play it that way, because you're sending boats, you're sending rather the sea monsters and the whales and the sharks against everybody else. So just fun, light strategy game for everyone, essentially.
When I was playing it, I open it up and I'm punching out the pieces, right? And we do have an upcoming review, Survive. Of course, Jeff hasn't played it yet. And I'm punching them out. I'm like, why are these tiles so thick and some of them are so thin? And then I laid it out and I realized, okay, the beaches are all the thin tiles. Then you got the forests, which are the mediums, and the mountains are all the really big tiles. Okay, it makes sense. Yeah.
We really, you know, again, part of that business model. I mean, why trust us? Why come to us? So we wanted to put the absolute, and that's kind of just part of the way we do things. Put as much, you can't put gold in a box and expect to sell it at $50, but you can put the highest quality possibly in there and sell it. You know, we're not going to scrimp, we're not going to save. You're going to look at our games and you're going to say, wow, I mean, this is just a really high quality production. So your fans out there can't see what I'm about to show you, but I've got the punch boards from Survive in front of me, and I got the beach punch board, which is a 2 millimeter cardboard. That's standard Carcassonne. Most games use 2 millimeter punch board. That's great. That's your beaches. And then we went and we said, oh, we're going to go crazy here. We're going to go to 4 millimeters for the forests. Tuluva is one game that uses 4 millimeter. Very few games use 4 millimeter. And then I searched high and wide. I mean, I went crazy. Went to 10 different printers and said, I want the biggest thing you can do, and I found somebody can do 6 millimeter punch board. You can kill somebody with this thing. I mean, look.
What'd you hit Elliot with that for?
Smacking Elliot on the head. So six millimeter cardboard. I mean, think about the force that needs to go through that to punch that. And we gave it, you know, functionally, it gives you, it kind of shows you what you're going to do next, you know, which of the land is going to go away next. So it's got a function within the game, but it also just looks nice. Mm-hmm. And it again shows the quality that we're trying to bring to the game. And of course, everything else is in sculpted wood. You know, you have slotted boats for the people to fit into, etc. And of course, what we do with all of our games, we want to not only reprint the game the way it was, because you play this game exactly the way the original Survive was done. Mm-hmm. Or we have some optional rules in there that you can also use. So we've put some optional components with these dive dice and the dolphins. And they are, in fact, an homage to Escape from Atlantis, which was a separate publication by the same designer, which was only published in Europe. So we almost sort of combined those games because those elements were in that game, but some other elements were taken out of the Escape from Atlantis version. So that's we're real proud of this, selling great, and it's, you know, I think this is going to be the game at least that people will come back to again and again and again.
It's two games in one.
Now, what about your newest game?
Confusion.
Confusion, Espionage and Deception in the Cold War. As you can see, we always have to have subtitles in a lot of games. I don't know why, but we do. Confusion is an abstract game. So, I mean, we have layered a theme onto it but because we believe the mechanics sort of lend to it. But I don't want to confuse it. This is not like Twilight Struggle, okay? Right. This is an abstract game. But it is a spy versus spy whereby you are one person's controlling the CIA's spies and one person's controlling the KGB and their spies and us and that is. So what you're going to do on your turn is you're going to attempt, oh, let me tell you what the object is first. The object of the game is to, I'm going to have to move, as I move away from the mic, I don't know how good you can pick up. You're going to manipulate your spies to take and capture the top secret briefcase, which is in the center of the board, and bring it to any space on the opposite side of the board. You have to deliver it to the other side. You consider a nuclear bomb, consider whatever you want. Okay? Get it to the other side. If you do that, you win. However, the problem is, when you start the game, What you can see on this side of the board here, on the back of your pieces, is just these pretty pictures that are reminiscent of the Cold War, 1960s era, ugly tape recorders and things like that, big bulky things. So you have no idea how to move your spies. You don't know how to command them. Maybe think of them as mercenaries, think of the fog of war, communication in the field. You can't move these spies effectively yet. So what you're going to do is you're going to make a move. Try to make a move.
Okay.
All right? And then Elliot is going to look at that on the other side of the board, and he's going to tell me if that was a legal move or not. He would say yes in that case. I just happen to look at the piece to make sure I got it right. You see Elliot is moving down in that direction too. He can move up to two. Elliot looks confused over there, but that's why it is called.
That's his usual look. No, that's his normal look.
So, by giving me that, so I've made a move. It actually was a legal move. I've moved to that space. I then look into my spy notebook, which is a dry erase spy notebook with my very 1960s period dry erase markers. They'd be using, grease pens or something like that, right? So you'd make the move, and then you'd realize that these five have the possibility of moving forward too. So you would scratch off, again, your audience can't really see this, you'd scratch off the ones that it cannot be. So you've developed a piece and you've gotten information about that particular piece. On the other side, on the KGB side, he'd open his notebook and he would realize that you now know that it can't be these. So he would make a note of what you know as well. Now you might say to me, well, why does he care what I know? I mean, he can just see what the piece does.
Right.
He can see what the move is. He can see the movement markers on there. Well, the reason is there's two extra elements in this game that is really good to know what your opponent knows about their pieces. Number one is a bluffing element. If I've developed my piece and I'm over, someplace in the middle of the board, and my opponent kind of challenges me, right? He comes up to me like, okay, you're going to take me? If I don't know that I can move forward too and take that piece off the board, I might not want to try that. Because then I would waste my move, and then my opponent would come and take my piece off the board. So there is a bluffing element involved. However, much bigger reason that. You notice that one of the pieces on each side has a question mark on it. The question mark is a double agent. It's actually working for the other side, as any good double agent would be. Okay? So when someone moves the double agent, I'm grabbing the double agent with the question mark right now, and I've moved it forward. I'm doing this from the other side. I can now tell you anything that I want to tell you about how this piece just moved. I can say, oh, yeah, sure, yes, that was a good move. And I'd write down in the notebook exactly what I've just told you. And the reason you're doing this is you're hoping that he gets a lot of confidence in this piece. He's marching it across the board. Maybe he even grabs the top secret briefcase and gets it there within striking distance to make the win. And all of a sudden you say to him, I'm sorry, he's no longer responding to your commands. So even though you've deduced, maybe you thought exactly, you knew exactly which one of the pieces it was. Yes, it's this piece. I know it is. It may be the double agent, because there's a 1 in 13 chance that it is the double agent. And that is essentially, there's a few more rules here about promoting pieces and about passing the briefcase, but that essentially is confusion, espionage, and deception in the Cold War. It is selling. I'm going to sell out here. I had a fair number of copies here to sell at the show, and we're going to sell out. We did pre-orders on it, as we do all the time. Those went very well. We're going to sell out here at the show. I'm going to have a few copies for a local con that I go to every year in July. And I think that's going to be it until we're back in stock, which is going to be late August. Let's say late August. If my printer comes later, then I'm going to kill him. This you consider is our Origins release. We're very proud. If you can see the build quality of these pieces, is just absolutely amazing. People have been just like, I don't want to brag in this term, but people have been looking like, this is the talk of Origins, they were saying.
And I was going to say, the thing that I had noticed right away is there's a smaller block inside each block, because you would swap them out, because otherwise I know the K piece always moves like this.
You'd know that Spy K, let's call him the right way, that's Spy K, if he's, one game he's moving in this linear direction, and all of a sudden the next thing he can move in, two different directions. So you want to, in the beginning of the game, the first thing you do is you'll remove all of those inner pieces, a very unique design, as you can see, to pieces, and then you'll shuffle them up, and you will set up your opponent's side of the board.
That's what I was going to ask, yes.
Right. So you set up your opponent's side of the board. Now, you'll notice also on the other side of the movement pieces, there is a sort of a slightly more improved version of any other one. It's two in any directions. That's the promotion side. Only some pieces technically can be promoted if they have this little crown symbol on them, but there's a variant in the game that everybody could be promoted. The ones that are promotable in the base game are the ones that can't move backwards. So if you ever got one to the other side, it would be kind of dead piece, like the piece that Elliot's holding right now.
Right.
So, which is one thing about the pieces. I mean, first time ever in the industry, which we tend to do with lots of things. Two-piece, backlight quality pieces, almost look like Mahjong tiles with the etchings on
them. They do a little bit.
Again, what we're trying to do is we're trying to extend the envelope, essentially, of production quality. We want people to say, when they think about Stronghold Games, these guys can pick great games, these guys can do great quality work. That's, you know, if we do that, then hopefully we can do anything else and people believe in us.
What is the MSRP on Confusion, Espionage, and Deception in the Cold War?
Long to say there. After that hangover. MSRP is $59.95 on Confusion. We have it here at the show at $50.
But you're listening to this, so you weren't here.
And you can't get it later. But I hope you guys do look for it. Look for Survive in your friendly local game stores, your online game stores, and you can also find it, of course, in Barnes & Noble, as I mentioned now.
What else is coming down the pike?
Stronghold Games catalog. I have it in hand here to hand it to you guys.
It's a hefty tome.
Oh, my God. It's huge. It's printed on this crate paper. You know, we got to save costs here. I put all my money into
that's
the
right. Game. I understand that. You know, I'm surprised you didn't hand draw it and just, show it to everybody.
Maybe. Again, I tell all my friends in the industry, Mayfair Games, I know the president. He's a great guy, Larry Rasnai. Mayfair Games giving away these nice, canvas bags. If you buy a game, I've got those shopping bags that you buy when you go, you buy your pretzels, you get a little shopping bag. That's what I got when you come to my booth. We got to save money here, guys.
Hey, you're giving them a bag. There are some exhibitors out there. You don't even get a bag.
No bag. Get lost. Our catalog so far, as we've discussed, other than those three games, Code 777, Survive, Escape from Landis, and Confusion, Espionage, and Deception of the Cold War. We have three more games coming out this year, actually four, but I can't say about the fourth one because it's not announced yet. It's going to be it'll be a co-production. We have Outpost coming out this year. This is, again, a reprint from Tim Jim Games. It's a game of building the best outpost in the galaxy. You are managing factory resources and building upgrades. The more of these upgrades you build, the more victory points you get in the end. We looked for games that people really wanted to come back. We love Outpost. Tom Lehman is a huge fan. Tom Lehman, the designer, is a huge fan of Outpost. In fact, when he found out we were doing it, he actually wanted to help us make sure they edit the rules right and stuff like that, because he loves the game. And we also have Crude, the oil game, which was called McMulty in Europe. This is a heavy, heavy plastics game, insofar as not plastics as you see here with the blocks for Confusion, but plastics like sculpts. So you have oil wells, you have drilling rigs, you have refineries, you have gas stations, you have oil barrels and gasoline barrels. So you're managing a multinational oil company, and you're trying to get the largest oil company via buying and selling in the open market, refining oil, pumping oil out of the ground. So it's an entire economic simulation of the oil industry, which, by the way, is going crazy right now as we speak. I think oil is going all over the place right now. Aren't we releasing from the strategic oil reserves for some reason?
60 million gallons.
Yeah, is that a lot? I don't know.
Oh yeah,
60 million barrels.
That's right. Barrels.
Anyway, we digress. And our first new game coming out later this year, I think I mentioned it before, Core Worlds. Mm-hmm. It is a deck-building card game, right? Deck-building is sort of the rage right now. Dominion, Thunderstorm, so we had to do one too, right? Everyone's got to do one. So everyone's got to do a couple things this year. You have to have one of those now, and you have to have a Reiner Knizia game, so maybe we'll have one in the future.
Don't get a Reiner Knizia game, please.
I said that tongue-in-cheek. Oh, he might. He's got a few good things. There's a couple things that I would love, Tigris and Euphrates. I think it's a brilliant game.
Of course.
You know? So there are. He does have good games. So, hey, Reiner, I love you, man. So, okay. He's listening to your show, right? Of course.
He has no idea.
So in Core Worlds, the deck-building card game, Andrew Parks is here actually demoing the prototype. You're essentially the leader of a barbarian star empire. There's a crumbling, huge empire in the center of the galaxy, and you are racing basically to grab all of the worlds as you go back toward the center to get the remains of the huge galactic empire that has crumbled. And each one of you is trying to do that. So in the meantime, you're developing technologies, you're recruiting new troops. All of these are cards, of course. You do that by, as you draft them, you're drafting them and you're putting them in your deck to bring them back out. You actually build a tableau in this game, which we call the War Zone, which is a little bit different than like in Dominion, where everything is you play it, you throw it out, you play it, you throw it out. So here you're building a tableau, and then when you use the cards in the War Zone, let's use the right one, in the War Zone, you then shuffle them back into your deck, that kind of thing. So,
okay,
it's a different spin on deck building. We think it's a very strong spin on it. Andrew Parks is a fantastic designer. He happens to live in my neighborhood too, which is kind of interesting because I've known him for a while. I had to actually divorce myself from deciding if we were going to do this game. I said to my business partner, Kevin, you have to decide.
Right.
I know Andy too well.
Sure.
So,
sure.
And that's going to be our, these are the last three games are our Essen releases, essentially. They'll be out.
Fourth quarter.
So they'll be out for Essen, which is in October. Mm-hmm. Should have them at BGG.com if you're going to be there. And hopefully they'll be in stores in North America.
Hey, we're trying to make it to Essen, so.
Are you going to be Essen?
We're trying.
Awesome. All right.
Don't know.
Let's have some German beer, man. It's awesome.
I do any kind of beer. Doesn't matter where it's from. One question I always like to ask of anyone that we are interviewing is, what are some of the games that you enjoy but are not from Stronghold Games?
You mean I'm allowed to enjoy games that I don't produce? Of course I do, because I've been a gamer much longer than I've been a publisher. I've been a publisher for a year and a half. I've been a gamer since I was, very young and a long time. I'm a little older than you guys. So I always talk about the 800-pound gorilla in the room, Fantasy Flight Games. I mean, I'm an American-style gamer. That's what I like. And I'm a light war gamer as well. I know you guys like war games too. So, I mean, to me, my favorite game in the entire world is War of the Ring. I'm also a Lord of the Rings fan. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong about that game. And I love games of intrigue, so I love Battlestar Galactica. So, I mean, I tout them like, I'm a stockholder. I'm sure. Not. I've never even met Christian and company. I met a couple of the guys at the company. They're my favorite game company. Am I giving away a lot by saying that? Am I sending people there? They've got plenty of business.
Right, exactly.
They're
I believe the check is being made out to you right now.
The check? Thank you, Christian. I appreciate it. No, they're doing great work. I love it. I love their stuff. So they're my, I look at everything, at least I look at everything that they come out with. I'm a big fan. I mean, I'll talk about my friends, the true friends in the industry. I mean, Zev at Z-Man Games does great work. I mean, he's been phenomenal for the industry. Mm-hmm. So always playing his stuff. The guys over at EU Games, Keith Bloom, just like to talk about them because they're just nice people. I'm an American style gamer at heart. So that's kind of where I go when I want to really have a nice, long, enjoyable evening.
Sure.
But, when I want to go light, I'm going to play like Survive or something like that because it's easy. It's a nice super filler, and you play it, and then you move on to something else.
Pretty fast play, too,
Oh, yeah.
Just
no.
Pull it out. Poof.
30 yeah. minutes, you're done.
Exactly. Okay, well, Stephen, thank you very much for talking to us.
You don't want to talk about a couple hours? Come on.
I'm going to go take my nap now.
Right?
I don't think there's anywhere to nap around here. I never see anybody sleeping at a convention. Yes, thank you so much for taking time.
I really appreciate you guys interviewing me, and I got to run to the dealer's room. I realize it's after 10 now. It's open. Wow. It's open. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
So there you have it. A big thank you to Stephen Bonacore for spending a few minutes with us to give us the lowdown on all things Stronghold Games. And a big shout-out of thanks to our sponsor, Victory Point Games, where the game plays the thing. Be sure to join Elliot and I for the latest edition of the podcast for news, views, and reviews. So until then, thanks for listening.